From my office in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I can just about see one of the most famous hospitals in the world, Massachusetts General Hospital, or Mass General as it's known here in Boston. It literally drips with history. It's the original teaching hospital for Harvard Medical School. It saw the first public demonstration of anesthesia and the first reattachment of a severed limb. Its research budget, which is close to $1 billion annually, is the largest research budget of any hospital on the planet. The reason I'm mentioning it today, however, isn't because of what Mass General is, but because of what it's part of, an integrated delivery network. Integrated delivery networks, or IDNs as they're sometimes known, are simply networks of healthcare providers. I say simply, but there's nothing simple about them. In Mass General's case, it combined with Brigham and Women's Hospital to create Partners Healthcare, the largest integrated delivery network in Massachusetts. Partners consists of a network of hospitals, clinics, medical practices, and labs that employs 70,000 staff and generates revenues of $13 billion annually. I'm Rory Martin, head of IQVIA's Center of Excellence for Integrated Delivery Network. I decided to create this podcast series to shed some light on these health systems by sharing with you some stories about how they operate and why they matter. I'll assume listeners have a general understanding of the US healthcare system, but I'm not counting on you knowing anything about IDNs. Each week, we'll cover a different topic with the help of some guests. For example, we'll look at the structure of these health systems and the affiliation data we use to describe that structure. We'll share some examples of how IDNs operate in different disease areas. We'll talk about electronic health records used by IDNs and some of their pros and cons. And we'll explain how primary market research can be used to help understand what IDNs are thinking. I've called today's episode IDN 101, and I'm going to describe what IDNs are, what they look like, and why they're important to the pharmaceutical industry. Organized health systems come in several different flavors. One type is provider networks. They normally treat specific diseases like diabetes or cardiovascular disease and are made up of medical practices and labs. Texas Oncology is a provider network that treats cancer. Joslin Diabetes Center here in Boston is a provider network that is a famous center for endocrinology. Another type is an integrated delivery network, or IDN, which treats all kinds of diseases. An IDN is a network of practices, hospitals, and outpatient clinics. Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, and Ascension Health are all IDNs. Ascension is one of the largest in the country. IDNs can also be known as integrated health systems or organized providers. For the remainder of this podcast series, we'll focus on IDNs, but with the understanding that much of what we say could equally well apply to provider networks. The network in these organized health systems comes from relationships between called affiliations, which define where a physician practices and the owner of a medical facility. In the second episode of this series, we'll explore affiliation in depth. The pharma industry is in the business of selling drugs, and like any other industry, it employs teams of salespeople to do this. Traditionally, pharma sales teams have sold to physicians one-on-one. Organized health systems, like IDNs, offer pharma the ability to drive messaging top-down through the health system to hundreds of affiliated providers at once. This is sometimes called account-based selling. For account-based selling to work, an IDN needs to be able to influence or control the treatment decisions of its affiliated providers. There's about 1,000 IDNs in the US and several thousand provider networks, depending on the disease area. The smallest IDNs are tiny community hospitals with only a few affiliated providers. The biggest are enormous health systems straddling dozens of states, owning hundreds of facilities, employing thousands of physicians, and writing millions of scripts annually. Some IDNs, like Cleveland Clinic and Mayo Clinic, are well known, being involved not only in patient care, but also in education and research. They're actually not the biggest ones, though. Three of the biggest IDNs in the US are Ascension Health, Providence St. Joseph, and Trinity Health. And what's fascinating to me is that a lot of people, even those working in healthcare, aren't familiar with these players. Some organized health systems do business nationally, while others are regional. For example, Ascension operates in several dozen states, from Oregon in the Northwest to Massachusetts in the Northeast and down to Florida and Texas in the South. Atrium Health, formerly known as Carolinas Healthcare, is also one of the 10 largest IDNs, but does business in only two states, North and South Carolina. The amount of geographical spread IDNs have is one of the many ways in which they vary. Organized health systems are important for most disease areas. For example, for diabetes care, over half of all prescriptions are written by providers who either work for or are affiliated with an IDN or a provider network. Although about half of scripts flow through IDNs and provider networks nationally, there's a lot of variation. It reminds me of the joke about the statistician who drowned in a lake of average depth 6 inches. In some parts of the country, IDNs command much more than half of scripts, while in others, it's a lot less. For example, in Miami, Florida, less than a quarter of prescriptions for diabetes are written by IDN-affiliated physicians. In New York City, it's about a third. In Chicago, about a half. This increases to two-thirds in Boston, while near the top is Cleveland, Ohio, in which three-quarters of scripts come from IDNs. In general, organized health systems have a higher penetration of business for specialty markets like oncology, while it's a bit lower for non-specialty markets like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Organized health systems are increasingly focused on providing quality care while containing costs. One way of looking at costs is by disease area, and you can think of this in terms of which diseases are the most common and the most expensive to treat. The Kaiser Family Foundation published a report in 2017 called How Much Does the US Spend to Treat Different Diseases? It ranked the total cost of medical services in the US by disease category. The top 15 disease categories included cardiovascular disease, musculoskeletal diseases like osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, respiratory disorders like asthma and COPD, diabetes, diseases of the nervous system, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, cancer, mental illness, and infectious diseases. These disease areas are a focus for IDNs for a simple reason. They're common and expensive to treat. Rarer diseases may also be a focus for certain IDNs, in which case they'll likely have a center of excellence for them. For a manufacturer to effectively manage its drug portfolio, it needs to understand how IDNs are influencing or controlling treatment for a given disease area in local health markets. But IDNs vary hugely in size in the amount of control they exert. Some of the key questions for manufacturers include, what are the right organized health systems to target? Remember, there are thousands of them, much too many to target them all. How should targeting be done? Should you target an IDN top-down through the account, or bottom-up via individual physicians, or both? Is it more effective to treat an IDN as a single homogeneous entity, or should you try to drive utilization by engaging their different campuses locally? In our studies here at IQVIA's IDN Center of Excellence, we've found a key concept to help us answer these questions. We call it IDN control. IDN control is a change in the way a physician treats, driven by them being affiliated with an IDN. IDN control makes itself visible as changes in market share for different drug classes. Where control is favorable to a drug class, its share increases, and where it's not, it loses share. There are several possible mechanisms that can cause IDN control. EHR systems and the clinical guidelines they contain is one, and we'll be discussing this in a future episode. Key opinion leaders and their influence over their peers is another. And I want to add that there are other non-IDN factors that can also influence treatment, such as payers. And we take these into account and remove them in our IDN analyses. My team recently published a white paper in which we analyzed the largest 200 IDNs in the nation to quantify the amount of control or influence they had on treatment. We studied half a dozen disease areas: diabetes, hypercholesterolemia, COPD for respiratory disease, congestive heart failure, Parkinson's disease, psoriasis, and oncology. We posed a handful of questions. For a given disease area, say diabetes, how much variation in control do we see across different IDNs? Conversely, for a single IDN, how much does the amount it controls, its affiliated physicians, vary across different diseases? Is it all about the disease? In other words, there's a lot of control in some diseases and not much in others. Is it all about the health system? Some IDNs control and others don't. What we saw was surprising. There are complex patterns of control in IDNs. A single health system like Mount Sinai or Cleveland Clinic may be high control for one disease area and low control for another. We just don't see IDNs acting consistently across the board. We'll have more to say about this in future episodes. We've learned several things in today's episode that have important implications. We learned that the penetration of integrated delivery networks varies threefold across our major cities. Also, we saw that some IDNs do business nationally, while others dominate a specific geographical region. Finally, we learned that there's tremendous variation in the degree to which IDNs control and influence treatment, both between IDNs and within them. For manufacturers to effectively manage their drug portfolios, they need to be aware of this behavior so they can focus efforts on the right health systems, in the right geographies, for the right disease areas. For our next episode, we'll be exploring the affiliations that form integrated delivery networks, what affiliation data means, and how it's collected. I'm your host, Rory Martin. Bye for now.